Hey there, Richard Tubb here with another episode of Tubb Talk, and I am super excited to introduce you to today's guest. Gil Pekelman is the founder and CEO of Atera, a cloud-based IT management platform that provides an all-in-one solution built for MSPs and IT support personnel. Now, Gil has over 20 years of senior leadership experience in hyper-growth technology startups, managing R&D, marketing, and sales to global corporations in North America, Europe, and APAC. His track record includes taking tech companies from zero sales traction to successful exit IPO. I am super excited to talk to him. Gil, welcome to Tub Talk.
Thank you, Richard. Excited to be here.
Where are you joining us from today?
I'm in Tel Aviv, and believe it or not, Tel Aviv is post-corona.
Yeah, we were just talking just before we came on air. Of course, we're recording this in the start of June. So Israel and Tel Aviv is starting to come out of the COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, we've been out for a month now, more or less, and people are back in restaurants, back on the beach. Very few new infections. Psychologically, that makes a big difference. And things, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and Atera is back at an office, which is strange in itself after 2.5 months of lockdown. But we're back.
Yeah. Now let's talk a bit about you as an individual, as a CEO first. So Atera is already wildly successful, but it's not your first successful business. Can you tell us a little bit about your own personal journey into becoming CEO of Atera?
Sure. I actually, third year in university, I studied both economics and business administration. I joined a startup, not even knowing what it is, what a startup is. And this company was called Indigo at the time. And I joined when there was around 100 people. And we grew and grew super fast. And at 3,000 people, we were acquired by HP. And that was a ride, and my first startup ride ever as a young guy. And I understood this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And then I went and founded, together with some friends, a company called Exynet in the storage space. And after a few years of building Exynet, it was acquired by Dell. And then, and then I started Atera, and Atera has been the most amazing of all. Of all these three stories, the most amazing is Atera, the most exciting. I'd also say the most beautiful one of the three companies is Atera.
So give us some timeline to that. Which year did you start Atera?
We started developing our product in 2014, early 2014. We launched our first version in 2016. And ever since, we've been in the market from 2016 and growing very quickly. We have 4,500 customers in 75 different countries around the world. Growing, you know, everywhere from customers in the Maldives, which everybody wants to visit and help them, to the UK, which is our second largest market, and the US, which is our largest. So in 75 different countries around the world. So it's really an exciting ride. And I think the most exciting part of it is the appreciation, the connection we have with our customers, which is amazing. I mean, the reactions we get, the feedback we get, it's just makes it so much fun every day.
Well, interestingly, you've built up a really, really sort of a fan base of raving fans, especially here in the UK, where I'm recording from today. I would say that if not the top one, you're certainly in the top three people that listeners have asked me to interview on this podcast, Gil. So that's why I'm so excited to have you here today. Atera themselves, the people within the business, how many people have you got there with working within the company at the moment?
We are 60 people at the moment here.
60 people. And what type of roles do they take? Because one of the reason I ask that question is I know that you're not a massively sales-driven organization. And I say that with respect. Lots of vendors that I speak to have got very, very heavy sales teams. I don't think that's the case with you, though, is it?
Right. We are primarily engineers, and we have, when we started Atera, the reason was that we were looking at the frustration, the difficulties that MSPs were having when they had to deal with the complexity, the cost, the time of buying and integrating the legacy standalone solutions. And when you combine that with all the frustration created by the various consolidations, we were looking at that and we said, it doesn't make sense. But for us, it doesn't make sense. It didn't mean we're going to sell better. It meant for us that we're going to make a product that people would love to buy. And that was our goal. And that's why we're not sales-driven, we're product-driven. Everything we do, the goal is that our customers or the next new customer will look at our product and say, okay, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for. This is something else than what I'm used to seeing. So the primary, you know, the group, the big group here is the product, the R&D group, and they're all focused on engaging customers, listening to what they're saying, getting feedback quickly. We release a version every 3 weeks. So we make a big effort to really meet the demand, the requests that our customers are sending to us, over to us. We have one very important thing that we do is we make sure everything is simple. So people can ask for things and it's easy to implement, but to implement it in a way that it keeps it simple is very difficult. And there are a lot of effort goes into the user experience and user interface and thinking of how the user will use it and making sure that it always stays simple and doesn't become bloatware.
How do you balance that simplicity against the inevitable demand that MSPs will have for features? How do you keep it simple?
Well, first of all, it's very tough. The second thing we do is we try to put in as much automation behind the feature so the individual user will have less to do on his own, and the system, the algorithms, and the back end will do as much for him as possible, which naturally makes it simple and also makes it much more efficient. So we are working around that all the time. And it's a tough challenge. It's not an easy one to keep it simple, but that's kind of our, you know, North Star in what we're doing.
Yeah. I want to talk a bit more about the product shortly, but I'm intrigued. You know, 2016, I think we first spoke, didn't we, Gil? You and I probably, it was definitely near 2016, maybe 2017. And yeah, you sort of appeared on my radar, and a mutual friend connected us. And I've heard more and more about you since that time. But you've grown rapidly. You're up to 60 people. As a CEO, what do you look for when you're hiring people? What type of people do you want working at Atera?
So because we're a technology company, not a sales company, we're looking for people that are innovative. They think out of the box. The ones that we like to say, they don't even know there's a box. And they're very passionate by what they're doing. So they are, you know, they came here to build something that's exceptional that they'll take with them through their whole lives later on. And that's the kind of dynamic and energy there's in the company. And because the majority of these 60 people are all engineers and product people, we're all creating all the time.
You see, talk about the type of people that you enjoy working with, and you're clearly having fun there. Just before we came on air, actually, you were giving me a quick tour of the office, and you know, you can see how proud you are and the enjoyment you get from the people that you work with. What type of MSPs do you enjoy working with? Is there a certain trait that you look for in the clients that you attract?
I think that I look at it a bit, you know, I look at it in the following way. MSPs are amazing businesses and amazing people. And you look at the what they do, the way they give service. And actually, they're the secret people behind the machine working, because nothing works without IT working. And nobody, you know, they're unrecognized in a sense. So any MSP that we're engaged with, you know, even if he doesn't become a customer, every conversation, and I do a lot of them every day, with is an amazing one. And I can't say that I have, you know, those that I prefer. You know, some could be very different. Some, you know, are very focused on certain industries. Some have, you know, very specific ways that they do things. Some are new. Some are a family business. Some are growing rapidly, focused on security. So I can't say that there's a type that they all amaze me. Every time I have a conversation, and I'm amazed and I learn something new, and we want to be a partner with them. That's our goal in life.
Yeah, yeah. And you're doing a good job of it. As I said, you're building up a great reputation.
Thanks for that. I was trying to remember if the first time we talked and I told you what we're going to do, you told me I'm crazy or not. But I'm...
Well, I can still remember the first conversation that we had. And I said something along the lines of, if you make the tool simple, I think you've got a good opportunity there. And so, you know, clearly you had that idea in mind, obviously, before we spoke. So but I'm such a huge fan of disruption in the market and making sure that the big players are kept on their toes, that that MSPs are given options. And that's why I was a big fan, you know, when you first started up, and why I'm so pleased to see you doing well now.
That's great. I remember that conversation as well. And I remember that interaction because that's how we started with this idea of simplicity. And that hearing that from you was like, whoa, this is... you know, we're in the same we're transmitting here on the same wavelength, and it's the first time we've spoken. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, complex tools don't get used. I remember when I ran an MSP way back in the day, and I won't mention any names specifically, but there's some really powerful tools on the market, but MSPs buy them and don't do a great deal with them because they're too complex. And, you know, as MSP business owners, you don't have the time to implement things. So that's another reason why I'm such a fan of simplicity as well. Yeah. One of the other reasons I'm a fan of simplicity and products like Atera for disrupting the market is your pricing model. So talk me through the pricing model a little bit, because I know that you allow MSPs to pay per technician. How else do you sort of price things up, and how else do you differentiate yourself from this, maybe the established players in the market?
So the first thing for us going into, you know, early days was that the whole pricing model in the market just didn't make sense for us. It was so old and legacy and clunky. And, you know, our pricing model, first of all, is transparent, predictable. You know how much you're going to pay every month. That was the first thing. The second part of it is because we charge per technician, our customers install agents on every computer and server in their networks. And that does something else. That allows them to give much better service because every system has an agent, and they don't work as hard because all the automations are running on everything. You don't have to charge for each one. You have a whole different paradigm in terms of the work. So you're paying less, you're giving better service, and you're working less, which actually gives you more time to grow. So that's how we looked at the whole picture. And, you know, compared to the legacy solutions where it's per agent and every computer you're now, every PC you're going to monitor, you're going to pay for, and there's a contract and it's 3 years and you got to, you know, you negotiate your prices. We thought that was really wrong, just pure wrong. So that's how we looked at the whole pricing model. But technologically speaking, we are also the only product that is a single code base and single database for both the RMM and PSA. Single one. So in terms of usability, in essence, within minutes after signing up, you already as a business have a PSA and RMM up and functioning and running, and you know how to use it. That's the beauty of it. I remember in the old days, 2016.
All those years ago.
Old, yeah. Trials would come up to us and say, well, we love it. How much will the professional services cost? We're willing to pay. And we just didn't have a professional services team. And the whole design of the system was that you don't need one. And we would say, we don't have one. You can pay whatever you want. We don't have the people. Try it. You'll see you don't actually need the professional services for it. And it proved itself. And I think the market knows that by now, because I don't remember getting those questions anymore.
Yeah. Well, one of the most common questions I get asked when I'm advising MSPs, they say, what should I start with, an RMM tool or a PSA tool? Now, I'm old school. I've been doing this forever. So I had a clearly defined answer to that back then. But again, you've disrupted the market. So what are your views on that at the moment, the whole RMM PSA question?
I think that with a Terra, you start with both. We cost $79 a month and you get both per user. So there is no reason to decide to make that. That's a decision that you don't have to make anymore. You press the button, you sign up, and you have both working fully integrated. It's a single code base and single, so there's not, it's not two systems. It all looks the same. It's fully streamlined. It's built to work together. The decision has become almost irrelevant at this point. And again, that's a way to give better service, because having both RMM and PSA out of the box, you're immediately giving much better service.
Yeah. Have you got any MSP clients or any IT service providers in general who choose not to use your RMM or choose not to use the PSA, and perhaps because they've got legacy products or anything like that? I'm trying to think of an environment, Gil, where somebody might come to you and say, hey, we really love your RMM, but we've already got a PSA tool. Have you come across that situation?
We do. We do come. There is a percentage of our customers that come like that. There's a very low percentage that don't eventually move, because our PSA as well is easy to use. It's enjoyable to use. So there's people walking by. That's Yoav. Do you know Yoav?
I do not know. So we should say for podcast listeners, we've got the video going. And so okay. I can see all of the members of the team behind us walking past.
But eventually we will see them move to our PSA, because it has the same characteristics. It's easy to use. It's enjoyable to use. The cost is already in there for the $79 per month. So they will move out gradually, those that come with it, and stay with the whole ecosystem of Atera, which is very powerful.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about that ecosystem there, because you've got strategic alliances, dare I say, with companies like Acronis for backup, and there's other tools there. What's your view, first of all, with working with the wider MSP community, and dare I say, some vendors who may even have overlapping products?
So first of all, it's all done with our customers kind of in the center of the decision-making process. And the way we see it is, the more the ecosystem is robust for them, they have a better business. So if they have Acronis built in, or Webroot built in, and everything is streamlined, the installation, the payment, the alerts, they're going to be a better business. So as we're adding as many of those as we possibly can and as fast as possible, and we actually just signed with Bitdefender this week.
Okay.
We're working on integrating them as well. So we're increasing this ecosystem to make sure that when a customer of ours joins and there's products that he likes that are non-Atera antivirus, he'll have the antivirus he likes within the Terra ecosystem, and he can immediately start using it and have a holistic view of everything he's doing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And of course, we've talked up until this point about managed service providers, MSPs, who typically offer sort of flat fee support, all you can eat contracts. However, I know that you've got a sort of an established and a growing user base of maybe companies who are in the transition to manage services. They're still doing sort of break fix, and the licensing that you've got sort of lends itself to that. What would you say the sort of split of your customers is at the moment, MSPs to those who are aspiring to be MSPs?
Oh, that's a tough question. First of all, we are enablers of MSPs. Mm. If you're a break fix business and you want to become an MSP, investing $79 a month is a very small investment to make the transition. So we see a lot coming in, and we have a lot of documentation and how to's and blog posts on how to do that move. And we have a lot of experience with it, and you do it almost riskless. There's almost no risk with a Terra. If you go to a legacy solution and you're paying thousands of dollars just to get started, even before you got your first MSP dollar, it's a whole different kind of decision. So we see a lot coming in, and we like to help them in that transition. And we're enablers of it, in essence.
Yeah. I know I'm part of an online community called the Tech Tribe, founded by Nigel Moore in Australia. And we've got, you know, 800 plus sort of paying MSP or paying IT businesses, I should say, from across the world. And lots of IT businesses that aspire to be managed service providers come into us. And we see a lot of chatter around Terra because for all the reasons you just mentioned, it's low risk and it enables people to start thinking like an MSP, using the tools like an MSP, but without making huge, huge commitments up front. So I appreciate you doing that, yeah.
Well, one of our biggest challenges is to make sure that the system is simple, but not simplistic. It's very sophisticated, actually, but staying simple. So you start with a Terra, but the power of a Terra's technology and algorithms is such that the predictive alerts, the patch management, auto healing, those are features that are very powerful, even more, actually more powerful than the old legacy solutions, that their architecture is client-based architecture and not a cloud-based architecture like ours that can utilize the power of the cloud actually to create these algorithms and solutions.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of the challenge of the R&D team.
Well, let's get technical for a minute and talk, if we can, Gil, about some specific features. So network discovery was an important feature add. Why was network discovery so important for you? Why do you think MSPs rate it so highly?
So the trigger to go and to develop a network discovery was requests from customers. It was the number one most requested solution that we had from our customer base. What happened actually during the development of it, which network discovery is an ongoing product, we're developing it and increasing the capabilities. But one thing that we suddenly found out is that we can add another layer to network discovery as opposed to the standard network discovery solution that actually creates kind of an inventory. An inventory of map, we added onto that a business layer. And once creating the inventory, what we did is the business layer is able to identify the business opportunity within the inventory. In essence, it's like sending an employee to a network, to a company, and saying to him, look, go through the network, go through all the computers and servers, write down the hardware for me, the software, the routers, the firmware versions, and let me know what needs to be upgraded, what needs to be fixed, and write down for me how much business is behind that. And we do that continuously with network discovery and on the fly, and we create like tasks, like action item tasks that have all that information. This is what needs to be upgraded. This is how much profit is, or revenue is potential is there for you. And basically all you have to do is, and these are things that are important for your customers, and all you have to do is go and increase your revenue. We actually found out that on average, we identified $89,000 of annual recurring revenue per MSP with this system. Money left on the table. And we see that our customers using it are actually increasing their revenue.
That's incredible, because so many MSPs are actually founded, and I speak for myself here, by people who are technicians first and business owners second. So when I founded my MSP business, and we're going way back, Gil, I was a technician, I was a geek, you know, I was
young. You're so young. How back can that be?
Years ago. But I mean, because I was a geek, I was focused on the features. Right. But then you overlook the opportunities, as you've just said, for not only helping the client but increasing your revenue as well. So I think that's an awesome feature, and the fact that you've pointed this out to the technicians and said, you would be doing a disservice to not help the clients with this.
Exactly.
So much easier.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the other features that you've added recently is custom scripting. What sort of scripts are you seeing your community of MSPs build?
Well, what we're seeing is actually the majority is three types of scripts. There's security scripts, there's installation-based scripts, and various maintenance-based scripts. And we also we have a community now, so people are adding scripts. We're doing quick verification of them, and then we publish them in the whole community of our whole 4,500 MSPs, that they can share these scripts between them and create more and help each other. And we're actually that takes me a little bit somewhere else, but we're very strong on community between our customers. We have a Facebook group with around 2,000 of them. It's they help each other all the time. I mean, the whole discussions is how do you do this and how do you price that and what do you do in this case? And there's a continuous dynamic of helping. It's a big community helping each other. And there's a dynamic naturally of engaging with us over that Facebook group. But we're very strong on community and sharing ideas and thoughts and initiatives, etc.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the Facebook community, actually. We will make sure to include a link to it in the show notes for this podcast. Is that community open to non-Atera MSPs or is it MSP customers?
Sorry, no. Only Atera customers. Only paying customers.
A good reason to become a paying customer, then, isn't it?
Exactly.
So we've already mentioned, Gil, that we're recording this sort of at the what we hope will be the tail end of the COVID-19 situation there in Tel Aviv. You're going back to the office and the world is starting to get back to some degree of normality. Wherever you are listening to this episode, at some point in the future, technicians are going to be visiting client sites more often. So my question for you, Gil, is what are your plans for a mobile app?
So we have a mobile app. We launched it a couple of months ago. Next week, we're launching its final major version. And actually, the unique thing about the mobile app is it's a PSA and an RMM together, and it's simple and enjoyable to use. And that means that wherever you are, you now have your tickets and you have your alerts and you can connect remotely and you can see the problems and you can actually manage everything from your phone or your iPad naturally, but your phone in general. And it's a native app, Android and iOS. And I believe that even with COVID over, work from home is going to stay. So actually you're going to be dealing with more than one site for each customer. Each customer of yours that had one site now might have 30 sites. You might be called to a customer, you know, to his home and have to set up things there, security, internet connection. So you might have to be even more mobile and naturally work better remote. So you have less travel and more work can be automated and done from remote.
Excellent. And again, we'll include a link to the mobile app and the updated features in the show notes as well.
Cool.
I think it's clear to anybody who's listening to this, you've already mentioned simplicity. You've already mentioned having fun while you're doing it. Now, this is not something that most MSPs think about. It's like, oh, the simplicity bit they get, but the having fun bit. That definitely comes across from speaking to you. What would you say is important to you as a CEO as your business continues to grow? Is fun near the top of that list?
Fun is, we have five company culture principles. One of them is fun. We actually have fun all the time. I mean, fun for us, you know, what makes our day literally is getting an email from a customer and that says, wow, where were you before? And we get those all the time. Or the product is amazingly beautiful, or it's just so that's for us, number one, fun. Second fun is football, soccer, basketball, Nerf Wars. That's the second part of the fun. And we have other principles as well. Innovation, daring, teamwork. Our customers come first. We care about them. So those are the things that come together. And if our customers are enjoying life, we're, you know, enjoying what we do, we and appreciate it, we have a great day then. That's really how the cycle works.
I mean, I can hear it, and I think the listeners will hear it through our conversation today, you know, how much fun and how proud you are of what you're building. Can I ask you a question as a CEO?
Sure.
When I speak to lots of managing directors, CEOs, and we talk about company culture, it can so easily become a list of words that are written on a poster in the meeting room. How do you make sure that people coming into a rapidly growing business as yours is, that they understand the culture, that they're a good fit for it? And how do you maintain that culture as you grow?
Okay. We invest a lot in the culture because we want people to come in and keep on being innovative and listening to the customers and work in teams and not. So we have an HR department that when we hire somebody, they're trying to assess if he's in line with this. And sometimes we make mistakes and we correct them, but we try not to. We try to make sure that the people we bring in fit those characteristics. And once somebody comes in, we have a very elaborate onboarding process. I meet for an hour with every new employee that comes into the company. And I sit down with them. Even if I interviewed them in the interview process, once they're onboarding, I'll sit down with them. I'll tell them about the company, about what's important for us, how our principles look, what's our mission and vision. And they get it from everybody around them as well, all the time. So in essence, they, after the onboarding process, and assuming that we didn't make a mistake with their personal characteristics, they'll fit in well. And we have a very high retention rate of employees.
Good to hear. Thank you. We've talked about previous businesses, you know, been acquired by Dell, by HP. That's a pretty impressive CV. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned as a CEO, and perhaps something that you've carried forward to Atera?
The biggest lesson is, and it'll sound like a cliche, but actually I, you know, as you grow as a CEO, you also get, these things are enforced, from, various external experiences. So the biggest thing is the team. It sounds like a cliche, but it's actually not. It's, if you have excellent people everywhere in the company that are driven and passionate and innovative and love what they're doing, then even if something as bad as COVID hits you, you'll recover, you'll make it. They will make it. They'll be innovative. They'll be flexible. They'll think of new ideas. I'll give you an example. As COVID hit us, within 2 weeks, we released a work from home feature that allowed our customers to connect home PCs to the office PC immediately, within seconds, simple, within the product. And we released it 2 weeks within COVID. And it's not that I came up with this great idea. It came up from the team. And they said, look, we can do this. And we did it together with Splashtop, actually, one of our partners. And we can do it like this and like that. And within 2 weeks, we're going to launch it. And so the team is really everything. And actually, what solidified that, not as a cliche, was a presentation I heard from the head of MI6. I don't remember her name, but she was the MI6, the head of MI6 during 9/11. And it was a presentation, and she was asked, is it lonely at the top? She said, I don't know, because I had such a good team at the time. I just can't say, is it lonely? It wasn't lonely for me. And that really is the meaning of a team. That really the team matters, and that's where you went from.
I love that advice. Thank you for sharing it. Really appreciate it. Something else I want to draw attention to. You've put together some wonderful resources to help the nearly 200,000 men and women who leave US military service and return to civilian life. Tell me more about why that's important to you.
So first of all, these are people that have served, and they've served their nation, they've served the world, the community. And when they come out of military service, and we do it in other places as well, they start building their second lives. And these are people that are disciplined, talented, driven, focused. And our feeling was that some of them come from backgrounds that are relevant and some don't, but with a very, very small effort, they can enter this world of IT, which has, as you can see in COVID, it always has needs, and it's always very, both pleasurable, enjoyable, and profitable. And with that, we were helping them with their second life. And they're the best people to do the job. And we also feel committed after they've given service to be part of helping them do that change.
Yeah, I've hired former military veterans before. And they, as you say, they just make incredible employees, such discipline, such work ethic and that. So wholeheartedly applaud that, yeah. As we're coming towards the end of our time together, obviously the listeners to this show are typically the owners of IT businesses, managed service providers. What's the top piece of advice that you would give to any MSPs listening? What's the one thing that you would ask them to do?
Say that as COVID is with us now to stay, focus on what you're doing best. Get the best technology you can to help you. And COVID is not here forever. It's going to go away. And when you come out of it, you're going to be stronger, better, and more profitable. And hold in there. It's not that far away, the end.
Yeah. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today, and I'm going to put you on the spot and see if maybe we could have this conversation again in 18 months, a couple of years' time, just to see both where Aterra is and where the managed service industry is.
And that would be great. I would love that. We're going to have to give you our projections now so you can then check us in 2 years from now and see if we met our targets.
Hold you accountable to it.
Exactly.
Gil, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. If anybody listening wants to continue the conversation with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Just send me an email. It's gil@aterra.com, gil@aterra.com. I always answer. I always reply. I love these dialogues. Just send me an email and we can start a discussion.
Fantastic. Gil, I really appreciate your time. It's taken us a couple of years to get to have this conversation. Let's not leave it a couple of years before we have the next one for the listeners' benefit.
Absolutely. Richard, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot. Cheers, Gil.
Thank you. Take care.
Hey folks, Richard here. Thanks for listening today. I know you've got a ton of options for who you listen to nowadays, so I really appreciate your support. Do you have any feedback on this episode? Ideas for future guests? Tweet me at TubBlog using the hashtag TubTalk. I respond to every tweet and really appreciate your feedback.